For the scripture reading this morning, turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1159. Page 1159. We'll read verses 14 through 23. And these verses we'll read responsively. The 23rd verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's word. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And let's pray. Father, we ask for thy special blessing upon the service this morning. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for this season of the year and the reminder that the Word became flesh. Bless, we pray, the preaching, the hearing of your Word, in a special way, meet with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight, I plan to bring a Christmas message. This morning, I think my message will be more the end of the year kind of message. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the bond of hatred. The bond of hatred. The text is the verse we read a while ago. It says, the bond of iniquity. And I want to speak this morning on the bond of hatred. What I'm speaking about this morning will apply to everybody in this room. There are times when I speak with special emphasis to young people. There are times that I speak with special emphasis to older people. There are times when I speak special emphasis to men. But this morning, every person in this house will be affected if you listen by the truth of this message. The bond of hatred. The Jews thought, and this is very old hat here, the Jews thought that God had three books. They thought, are you listening? They thought that God had one book. Listen now, everybody paying attention right here. They thought that God had one book where the people's names were listed who had been very, very good during the year. They thought the people, that God had a second book where the names of those were listed who had been very, very bad through the year. They thought that God had a third book, and that book was the larger of the three that was that had the names listed of all the people who had not been good enough to be in the good book, nor bad enough to be in the bad book. Now the Jews had what they called the 10 awesome days. The 10 awesome days. They thought that man had 10 days in which to have his name transferred from the middle book to the good book. And the way that he got his name transferred was to do all the good things he could to counteract the bad that he had done throughout the year. They thought, for example, that if a man owed any debts during these 10 awesome days, he could get his name transferred from the middle book to the good book by paying up his debts. They thought that if a man owed any tithes to God, he could it would aid in his the transferring of his name from the middle book to the good book for the paying of his tithes. They thought if a man had done anything unusually bad during the year, he could get forgiveness for that and do penance for it and make retribution, and he could have his name transferred from the middle book to the good book. Now, they thought at the end of the year, there were these 10 awesome days. At the end of those 10 days, it's too late. You can't get your name transferred. Now, one thing they thought that perhaps was the most important thing that they thought was that during these 10 awesome days, man could have his name transferred or aid in having his name transferred from the middle book to the best book by making it right with his enemies, by getting forgiveness for bitterness and hatred and having nothing in his heart against anybody. But I do not believe in those three books. It's not in the Bible. I do not believe that you get your name in the good book because you're good. I think you get your name in the good book because you're born again. I do not believe you get your name in the bad book because you're bad. I think you get your name in the bad book because you've not been born again. I do not agree with the 10 awesome days. I think every day in the year is important as the other days. But there's one thing that I do with which I do agree. I agree that this time of the year is a good time to take inventory and see if we have anything in our hearts against anybody in the world and get it out. And this morning, I'm going to give you an unusual slant toward this matter of hatred as I speak to you on the subject, the bond of hatred. Father, bless the message to our hearts today, and may there be a cleansing of our hearts and minds this morning as we think on these things. In Jesus' name, amen. For the next 30 minutes, would you take from your minds the things that are occupying them, and let the young folks back here be no talking. That's enough of that. No talking. Pay attention to the sermon. And everybody listening carefully. Fellas, I just told you not to talk. Let everybody listen carefully. Look this way. I won't try to help you, and I can't help you unless you listen. It has been 2,000 years since the Prince of Peace tiptoed into this warring world. It was almost 2,000 years ago when the angels sang to shepherds watching their flocks by night, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." In spite of that fact, and for these nearly 2,000 years, the world has paused for a few days a year to sing those songs and to be reminded of the angels' Noel. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And yet, in spite of that fact, that the baby Jesus came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men, and in spite of the fact that almost 2,000 times or eras or periods of time since then, we have paused to sing those words and read them again and again and again, it still will be difficult this morning in this room to find one human being without a heart that has hatred in it. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And yet, it would be difficult this morning to find a person in this auditorium void, totally void of hatred. There are many reasons why such feelings should not exist. There are many reasons why no child of God should ever have hate in his heart toward anybody. Now, I want to say this morning. We categorize sin. But I want to tell you something. Hatred in your heart is just as bad as liquor in your stomach. We don't think that. We sit here this morning filled with hatred toward somebody and sit in judgment on the drunkard or the adulterer or the thief, or the liar. But I want you to know something this morning. God, in His Word, pronounces his displeasure on hatred as on most any other sin in the Bible. Now why? Because if he who is perfect can love us who are imperfect, we who are imperfect ought to be able to love each other. If righteousness can love unrighteousness, then unrighteousness ought to love unrighteousness. Now you listen to me. I hear it so often. I'm losing faith in Christian people. Well, the first Christian person you better lose faith in is the one you look in the mirror, see when you look in the mirror. But there's one thing that ought not to ever be a part of the makeup of the child of God. And that one thing is hatred. Now, the many reasons why you shouldn't have it. But I'm going to give you one this morning that 99 and 99% of you never heard of in your life as to why you shouldn't have hatred. And that is this. There is a bond that exists between you and the one you hate. There is a tie that exists between you and the one you hate. You see, your hatred ties you to them. Did you ever stop to think of this, for example? That your mind probably dwells on the one you hate more than the ones you love. That doesn't make sense. I mean, and you lie there in bed at night thinking about the guy you don't like. And the truth is, your hatred binds you to the one you hate. And the time that you spend, and you do, I can't stand him. Boil, and you lie in bed at night, and you think about how much you don't like him. And you think about it at work, and on the way to work, how much you don't like him. What you don't know is there is a tie being made between you and him that can only be severed and by forgiveness. And you are building a tie, a bond. The Bible talks about the bond of iniquity. And you are building between you and the one you hate a bond. Your mind is on him. And it's a terrible thing for a person to spend more time thinking about the one he hates than the one he loves. But the ones you love do not get the love and the awareness of the love that you have for them as they should because your mind is occupied with those you hate. And the truth is, you're building a stronger tie toward those you hate than you are toward those you love because your mind is occupied with those that you hate. You become addicted to thinking of them. You can't help it. You become addicted. And in that addiction, there is a bond. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. But there is a stronger tie that binds you to those you hate. Let's examine that bond. Listen carefully. The three most powerful binders known to man bind you to the one or the ones that you hate. Let me say this. If somebody said, did you hear about so-and-so? He's fallen into sin. You never heard anybody say, what sin? You think of one, two, or three sins immediately. But I want to tell you something. The person who's fallen into hatred has fallen into sin as much as the person who's fallen in immorality. And the person who's fallen into hatred has fallen to sin as much as has the embezzler. And because of that, there is a tie that binds your heart to the object of your hate that makes you bound to him in a tie. And in some cases, stronger than the tie that binds your heart in love to God's people. Now, these three powerful binders. Number one, a common work. A common work. Nothing binds people like a common work or a common cause. Many years ago, I was invited to speak at my first Sword of the Lord Bible conference by Dr. John R. Rice. One day after I'd spoken for several years with Dr. Rice, he called me to his motel room. I was next door to him. He called me and said, Dr. Howes, could you come over? I went over to his room, and I was just a young man in my early 30s. And Dr. John R. Rice, the great preacher, great Christian, great writer, great editor, great soul winner,
Said Dr. Hiles, the Apostle Paul spoke about the care of all the churches. He said, I believe that God has given me the care of all the churches. Now he said, I've prayed for years for God to give me a fellow worker who understood that same burden for America, who carried that same load for our country. Now he says, Dr. Hiles, you're a young man, and I do not ask you to carry the degree of the load that I carry. But he said, I'm encouraged in that I've found in you what I believe is a young man who carries a burden for America. He said this. He said, you don't, when you go to conferences with me, you don't preach on your sugar stick sermons. You don't preach on the millennium or the New Jerusalem and have a lot of rousements. He said, I feel in your sermons the sacrificing of a great sermon for the deliverance of a great truth and the desire to save this nation. And he said, Brother Hiles, I feel you understand. For 22 years, that old man and I carried the same load. I didn't ever ask him in a conference, what do you have in mind? I knew. He didn't ask me, what do you have in mind? I know. He always knew. Now listen, we carried that same load. Not one time did I ever walk up to John Rice and say, would you be my friend? Not one time. Not one time did he ever walk up and say, would you be my friend? Not one time did I walk up to him and say, could we be tied together in a union? Not one time did he say, could we be tied together in a union? But together, we followed the same way, we walked the same path, we carried the same burden. And the two of us got down and lifted this old nation on our shoulders and carried it. And as a result of that, Dr. John Rice and I had a bond between each other that few preachers have ever known in the history of the ministry. Why? Because we carried the same nation on our shoulders. We never tried to be close. We got close because nothing binds like a common work. I was looking a while ago at the audience. And I was thinking of those people who've been with us for these 25 years. Then I was thinking about a note I got the other day. One of the finest men in this church. He said, dear pastor, I was not here when you came 25 years ago. But he said, shortly after you came, we came along with some others, he calls other families. And he said, we believe that God sent us here when you needed us from the outside to encourage you. And many of you were not here August 30th, 1959. But you see, you came during that first year. John Olson's family was one. During that first year. And God sent you people of like burden. People of fundamental positions from Chicago area. And they came. Now for 25 years, we've carried the same load. Our deacons, for example, I look at them as they walk down the aisle after having served the Lord's Supper. And as they walk, I think about one at a time. And I think about the buildings we've built. I think about the property we've bought. I think about the school, the grade school we built. I think about the junior high school and the high school and the City Baptist and the college and all these other things that we have, in a sense, humanly speaking, stumbled through, but God's Holy Spirit gave us wisdom far beyond the wisdom of man. And I think about, and you know how we're close? You don't say, I woke up with Dr. Evans. Dr. Evans, lest you and I get close. Okay? Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Evans. Get close. Close. You don't do it that way. You work for 13 years in the same college together. And you carry the same load together. And before you know it, you didn't try to make the tie, but the tie is there. I mean, it's there. Why? Because of the same work. When you love the same person, or you love the same thing, there's a tie. Now listen carefully. When you share a common desire to hurt, you're forming a tie. Dr. Evans, we share the same desire in the college. And because of that, there's been a tie through these years. But now those people who hate are doing the same work. And you don't know this. But the one you hate is becoming closer to you than those you love. Why? He hates, you hate, he hates, you hate. He hates you. You hate him. You think about how you hate him. He thinks about how he hates you. And you're forming a tie. The tie of hatred. Now listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You have no right to be bitter toward anybody in the whole world. Brother, if you got what you deserve, you'd burn in hell forever. How dare you stand up like a Pharisee and have bitterness in you? Get the bitterness out! You're forming a tie, a bond between you and the object of your hatred, and the only way that bond can ever be severed is for you to forgive him. The common work. There's a second of the three strongest tires and binders known to mankind, and that is a common thought. A common thought. When two people love each other, there's a bond that their minds tie. Lovers, somebody separated by the miles, go to bed at night. Young lady goes to bed in Greenville, South Carolina. She's at Bleep Bleep University. Young man goes to bed in the dormitory at Hiles Anderson College. And he thinks of her. And she thinks of him. And I believe this. I believe that there is a fellowship that people can have as they think of each other, even though they're not together. There are people, Brother John, there are people that I don't see once a year. Okay, Dr. Bob Gray in Jacksonville, Florida. I consider Dr. Bob Gray one of my dearest friends. I probably see him 5 hours a year. That's all. But I think about him. I pray for him every day. I love the guy. And there is a fellowship that we enjoy, though we're not close together. Most of you understand what I'm talking about. Now listen. That common thought. So a couple of lovers go to bed miles apart. One is here, one is here. They think of each other. And as they think of each other, there's a tie that is made and strengthened. And there's a bond that gets stronger. Why? Because of a common thought. Now, here are two other people. They go to bed miles apart. One is thinking about the other, how much he hates him, how distasteful it is, how disgusting he is. Brother, I don't understand that. I don't understand how any hunk of clay, not worth $1.98 on the chemical market, I don't understand it. Why any little hunk of clay who deserves to go to hell and burn forever, who is an alien by nature to God, prone to sin himself, I don't understand how anybody could detest anybody else. Brother, you better thank God. God doesn't look at it that way. He who never sinned loves you who sin. He who never did wrong loves wrongdoers. Now I want to tell you something. You'll never in this world get righteous enough where you deserve to get bitter toward anybody. And you never will get righteous enough where you deserve to hate anybody. Away with hatred! It binds you to them. And here are two people separated by the miles. And one hates the other. And over here, this one hates the one. And they're thinking about each other. And just as the thought of love binds the lovers together, the thought of hate binds the haters together, and you don't know it, but you're forming a bond with that person, and in many cases, you're closer to him than you are to anybody else in the whole wide world. There's a third binder I must spend a little time on. And that is not only the binder of a common work and the binder of a common thought, but the binder of a common condition. Did you know people that are in the same condition grow close to each other? Hey, I stood in line at O'Hara Field the other day, an hour and 15 minutes to get a ticket. One, and the fellow in front of me, he and I, we talked and we talked. And we started to leave after an hour and 15 minutes standing in line, and he griped. I didn't. I did some righteous complaining. After an hour and 15 minutes, He got up, got his ticket. I was next. He started to walk away. I pushed him on the shoulder. He turned around, and I said, wait a minute. I'm going to miss you. He grinned, and he said, we're pretty close, aren't we? You know why? We suffered in line an hour and 15 minutes together. I missed the guy. I want to send him a birthday present next time. I miss him. Why? Because we shared a common condition. Listen, you are not going to have hatred in your heart without sharing that common condition with other haters, and you are going cold. You don't know it, but you've got a bind with them. You've got a tie with them because you're in the same condition. Four times in my life, I've been stuck on elevators. There's nothing that bothers me quite so much. I mean, I know you're okay, but I don't think I know I'm okay. I forget I know I'm okay. You get stuck on an elevator with somebody and hang around. One time in Cairo, Egypt, I got stuck on an elevator with a beautiful young lady. There's nothing quite as wonderful as being stuck. But anyway, but she was scared to death. I said, lady, look, I'm a Baptist preacher. You have nothing to fear. That made her scared more. But I have been stuck. Brother Randy and I were together on an elevator one time. We got stuck. And a bunch of Episcopalians were at a convention, and they had their Episcopalian badges on. And I said something like this. I said, oh my, here I'm a heathen. And I'm stuck with nobody but Episcopalians, so nobody can pray. But now, wait a minute. Do you know what you can do? We start laughing. We start telling funny jokes together. I told clean ones. Randy told other kind. But by the time we got off the elevator, we felt like we knew each other. Why? We had suffered together. That's one reason why that so many people, listen, young couples who suffer together, do not know it, but you in a condition that's going to bind the tie. We have some ties. Those of you that were out at the college when the building burned, across the country, I tell the story, and there's a tie that binds us. Those of you that remember when Brother John Colston had his building torn down wrongly across the alley here. We went through that together. There's a tie that binds us. Those of us that sit out there, more than 20 years ago, on the 1964, out there, over 20 years ago, 20 years ago this April, I think it was, out there on that, on the street, and watched these buildings burn, half of our buildings burn, and stood out there and wept, there's a tie that binds us. Those of us that went through the battles back yonder 25 years ago, and we see what God has done here in this church. There's a tie that binds us. What is it? A good tie? No, it's a tie. It is suffering and pain. And a common condition causes us to have a close tie. You folks who go to the hospital, have a loved one in the hospital. Maybe you have, okay. When Becky was 2 years of age, she had a pneumonia. And back in those days, they didn't have all the stuff with which to cure pneumonia like they have now. And the doctor came and said, watch your little fingernails and see if the little fingers start turning color. Every minute, watch her. You know, there were couples there, young men there, we were young at the time, we were together with so long. And I spent so much time with some of those young men. When because their child had pneumonia. And our child had pneumonia. We suffered together. I can see a fellow who's a paratrooper and realize that he too has worn that chute on his back. He too has stood in the door. He too has jumped out of the plane. He too has seen the loveliness of that silk opening above him. He too knows what it is to land safely. And there's a tie. Why? The same condition. If you allow yourself to have hatred toward anybody in this world, if you allow yourself to be bitter toward anybody in this world, you don't know it, but you're building a tie with haters and a tie with bitter people. You're building a tie and a bond. In God's name, don't do it. Forgive! Forgive! As Jesus forgave you and as God for Christ's sake forgave you. You're getting close to Him. I hate them, but you're getting close to them. You share the same work. You share the same thought. You share the same condition. Now listen carefully, and I'll be finished. When you are freed by forgiveness, now hear me carefully, a strange thing happens to you. When you are freed from the bond of hatred, by the only thing that will ever free you from that bond, and that is your forgiving the person who's offended you. A strange thing happens. You all of a sudden are freed from that bondage. And as you look back in the bondage, you see him whom you used to hate. He's still there. But all of a sudden you're out, he's in, but you know how he feels. You understand it now. And you say, I was there yesterday. I can't hate him because I know how easy it is to hate. I can't be bitter toward him. I know how easy it is to get bitter. And so you look at him from freedom. Listen, brother, when you look at those in bondage from freedom, once you've been in bondage, I'll guarantee you a whole new outlook is felt in your soul. I'll tell you something. Too much hatred going on in this church. There's too much bitterness here. Let's just put it down where we live. There are too many people here who don't like each other. There are too many folks employed here who don't like each other. There are too many folks in Howells Anderson College that don't like each other. There are too many folks in Hammond Baptist School System that don't like each other. There are too many folks with the names of the church roll here that don't like each other. Brother, before I will let bitterness creep in my heart and ruin me and bind me to sinners, and I say sinners, I mean iniquity, I'll get rid of everything I own. I don't care how much money you got in the bank, it's not worth bitterness. Get rid of it and get your conscience back clear. Now listen to me. At the end of the year, it's time some of you folks got right. I'm not saying leave where you are and go across the building and hug somebody and say, I've been bitter toward you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying get your heart right. Get on your knees today and say, God, I'm sorry. How in the world could a sinner like me forgiven by God like you ever hate anybody or bitter toward anybody? Now, there's not a person in this room this morning. But what couldn't work up a good case for being bitter at somebody? Your mom didn't treat you right as you were growing up. Your dad didn't give you your dad didn't take you to watch the Cubs play when you were growing up. Your mom didn't give you enough cod liver oil, and they didn't tell you they loved you enough, and they didn't teach you character enough. And boy, I tell you, I'm bitter toward my mom and dad. Or somebody says, well, so and so owes me some money, or so and so mistreated me in a business deal, and I'm bitter. Or somebody did something to my family, and I'm bitter. Or somebody that mistreated my wife, and I'm bitter. Or somebody mistreated my child, and I'm bitter. There's not anybody in the house but what couldn't work up a pretty decent case. And I mean, you'd probably be right and the other person be wrong. Except when you get full of hatred and bitterness, or you even possess hatred and bitterness, then all of a sudden you join the wrongdoer and become are tied with him and have a bond with him. I remember back yonder, years ago, a guy did me wrong. The last time that I have any bitterness that I know about in my heart or any hatred toward anybody, it's been 22 years ago, 23 years ago. But I recall back yonder one night I was laying in my bed, and I said, boy, I'd like to get at him. Boy, he's just not my favorite person. That's the Christian way of saying I hate. And I decided to call him on the phone and tell him off. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't slept a wink. I picked up the phone and dialed his number. I was going to tell him off. That thing rang 15 times. And finally, I picked it up. And he said, hello. I said, what's wrong? He said, whoever this is woke me up. I said, you've been sleeping? That rascal had done me wrong. And I was the guy staying awake. And he was sleeping. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'm not going to live like this. I got on my knees, asked God to forgive me, and I went to sleep. You see, you don't understand this. But you're growing like the person you hate. You're adopting his qualities. You're adopting his thought pattern. You're adopting his life. I was in Washington, D.C. area 2 weeks ago. Had a question and answer session at the end of the, at noontime. Question and answer session. First questions asked me. I was shocked. Never been asked before in my life. He said, Dr. Hines, you've been the minister now going on 40 years and pastoring almost 38 years. He said, if you had your ministry to live over again, are there any changes you'd make? Boy, that knocked me off the Christmas tree. What would you do differently? And just like that, I said, I'll tell you what. I said, for 17 of those 40 years, I knew what it was occasionally to hate somebody. For 17 of those 40 years, I knew what it was to sit around coffee and cake, a table, and criticize people. I don't do that anymore. But for 17 of those years, and by the way, the criticism is nothing more than pride incarnate. He is not what he ought to be because I'm what I ought to be. And if he were like me, he'd be okay. Now, if he's like you, you can't criticize him. So if you criticize him, you're better than he is. And I said, if I had my ministry to live over again, the one thing I would try to change is those 17 years where if somebody did me wrong, try to get back at him. I know the bond that is formed and the tie that is made. And you don't understand this, and some of you folks can't understand this sermon, but I'll guarantee you, you've got hatred toward somebody this morning, and that is sin. I mean sin like drunkenness is sin. I mean sin like murder is sin. I mean sin like adultery is sin. I mean sin like lesbianism is sin. I'm talking about black. I'm not talking about little white sin. I'm not talking about little sin. I'm talking about capital S, capital I, capital N. There's no place in the heart of a child of God for hatred or bitterness. It is dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking, vile sin. It's sin. And what you're doing is you're binding yourself in a tie. And you're closer to your enemies than you are to your friends. And the bind of hatred has caused you to spend more time dwelling on those you hate than on those you love. You're shortchanging those you love. And you're forming a tie with those you hate. For you share the same work. You share the same thoughts. You share the same conditions. It's the end of the year. It's time to get cleaned out. Hear me. It's time to get cleaned out. It's time to love everybody. It's time to face it. Do I have any hatred toward anybody? Am I critical of anybody? Let's just put it down on your... See, you'll hedge out of that because you'll say, I just don't like him. I don't hate him, but I don't like him. My Bible says you either love or you hate. Jesus said, he that does not love me is against me. He's not for me, is against me. You either love or you hate. But I just don't like him. That's the righteous, self-righteous way to say I hate him. It's time for us today, end of the year, it's time for us to get cleaned out. It's time folks at Howells Anderson College to get cleaned out. That's no heaven out there. That's human beings living out there. It's no utopia. It's a place where flesh, people of flesh and blood live, and there comes hurt feelings, and you're human. It's time to get the law cleaned out now. It's time, members of this church, many of you don't like each other. It's time for you to make it right. Now, it's the end of the year. Let's just face it. Anyway, you'll dodge it. You won't look at it. Now face it. Look it square in the eye. I'm not asking for a public confession, or don't even go to the person if needs be. I'm asking you to get in your prayer closet sometime this afternoon and say, dear God, I'm not going to be bound to my enemies. Because I am allowing a bond of iniquity, a bond of hatred, a bond of bitterness to tie me to people to whom I do not want to be tied. And dear Holy Spirit of God, free me! I seek your forgiveness, Father. Free me from this bond that I have formed. And then you'll be free. And you can look back in the cesspool where you just were. And you'll have grace, understanding, and forbearance with those who are still bound where you were yesterday. Let's care for it. Let's just care for it. I'm not going to close with a sad story. We're not going to sing an exciting song. I'm just going to look you square in the eyeball and say, it's time for you to get right. It's time. It's time for us to get forgiven and be freed from the bondage of hatred. It's the end of the year. It's time to do it. So do it. Our Heavenly Father, bless the truth of this message to our hearts, and help us to see the folly of the bondage in which we find ourselves, being tied to our enemies with a bond of hatred.